Well, it's a new year, and I don't know if you've made your New Year's resolutions or not, but it's probably time to make them. That's also true for a church as well. I think I told you several weeks ago that our plans for today were to look at the goals for this congregation. And every congregation, every church needs to have goals for the coming year. We also need to have plans to carry out those goals. And we need persistence to make sure we keep on going. Kind of as an introduction to this morning's lesson, I'd like for us to turn back to a particular account in Nehemiah, which will serve to get us started this morning. Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. And we're going to begin reading in verse 1. You may be familiar with this account. This is, of course, Nehemiah was given permission to come back to Jerusalem, work on the walls to rebuild them, and there was a great deal of opposition. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1. But it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews, and he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, "Whatever they build, if even a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall." Now these are some of the rulers around them that were discouraging them, trying to do everything in their power to make sure they did not reach their goals. That's the important part of this story. They wanted to make sure Nehemiah and the Israelites did not rebuild the walls. Verse 4, "Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads and give them as plunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity, and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders." Now, verse 6. "So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work." Why did they reach their goals? Very simple. The people had a mind to work. So when we look at some of these goals this morning, if we want to reach them, if we want to make them real, we have to be just like those of Nehemiah's day. We must have a mind to work. We can't have the attitude that someone else will do it. We have to have the idea, the mindset that we will work. And we're not going to let anything keep us from accomplishing these goals. We're not going to let discouragement, we're not going to let people outside keep us from working and being persistent in achieving these goals. Now, if you've worked for a company or an organization or anything that usually begins the year with goals, are those goals usually something that's real easy to obtain and don't challenge you much? No. So as a result, some of the things this morning that's going to be presented will hopefully make you uncomfortable. I usually don't say that as a goal in a lesson, but that's the case. We need to be a little uncomfortable with some of these goals. We want to stretch. We want to reach. You know, stretching and reaching can sometimes cause a little discomfort. And that's okay, because that's how we grow. So some of these goals then, some of the things I'm going to mention that we're going to look at, may make us a little uncomfortable, cause us a little discomfort. I'm going to present these goals in general and then look at some ways that these goals can be reached on a personal level. You know, it's one thing to say, "Well, we mean to be better Christians." Well, that's true, we do. But how are we going to do that? That's what's important. That's why there has to be a plan. That's why there has to be specific objectives that we want to reach. Otherwise, nothing will happen of any importance. Hopefully you have something to write these down with, or something to write these on. Your hand will do, I suppose, until you get home. Number one, each of us, and I don't mean as a whole, I mean every single individual, each member, will use his or her abilities, his or her talents, more fully than you ever have before. Is that biblical? It sure is. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And then we'll talk about specifics. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is one that may make us a little uncomfortable, and that's all right. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll begin reading in verse 4. This, of course, was written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth, a church that had a wide variety of Christians among its ranks. Paul tells them, verse 4, there are diversities of gifts. We could substitute the word talents there, but the same Spirit. All of our talents and abilities come from God, don't they? Every one of them, regardless of what it is, they come from God. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Regardless of what we do, it needs to be done for the Lord and by His power and authority. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Right? Not for one individual, but it's for the profit of the, for the good of the congregation. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. See, they all come from God. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. While we don't have miraculous gifts, we do have a variety of talents and abilities. And we certainly have a divine authorization here to use them. And use them to the very best that we can. Whatever that is. You may think, I can't do anything. Sure you can. Sure you can. And you may say, well, I can't teach a class in front of people. Well, God's not telling you you have to teach a class in front of a bunch of people. That's not what He's telling you. He is telling us through Paul here that we have something that we can contribute to the congregation. Something we can do. Have you, or do you on a regular basis, pray for wisdom to know how to use your talents? That's a biblical thing to do. Pray to God so that you'll have wisdom to use your abilities, to know what they are and to use them, and to use them to benefit the entire congregation. So each of us need to look for ways, as he calls them here, activities or ministries. Look for ways. Do what you can. Everybody can't call everybody. I know I don't have time to do that. But some of you, that might be the very thing you do best, is call people. Well, then God wants you to do that. He wants you to do that to the very best of your ability, if that is what you do and do well. and that will be of great benefit. I know I like receiving a phone call or a card. That's another reason why our care group is so important tonight. You may not think that's a big deal. Oh, yes, it is a big deal. So if you're not here to participate, there's just one less name on the card. And those cards are important, just like the phone calls are important. So that is something that many of us can do. And it's important. And it builds up the congregation. It helps the whole congregation. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 before we go on to the next goal. And look at what Paul says. Again, this can do. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. This is also in a section when he wrote to Ephesus about spiritual gifts. And we can talk about talents and abilities. Verse 11 of that chapter, and he says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." Notice what he'll do. "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Calling can edify, can build up. Sending cards can edify, can build up. And notice the very last verse, verse 16 in that section. "From whom," talking about Christ, "the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." Everybody does its share. Not one person does most everything. That never works, does it? Have you ever known that to work? Anyway, that doesn't work. In any group of people, that doesn't work. But when everybody does their share, then it works great. That's what he's saying. That's the best way to accomplish what you want to accomplish. So if we want this church, this congregation, to function at its highest level, then each of us must find what we do best and do it at the highest level we can possibly do it. And that may mean for a while, if you've started an exercise program, maybe that's one of your goals for the year. What happens at first? It's kind of painful. Right? It's kind of painful. So that might be the case when doing some of these things. Well, I'm not used to doing that. Well, but the more you do it, the more comfortable you become. Goal number one. Goal number two. Here's the broad goal, and then we'll talk about specifics. Spread the gospel in as many ways as possible. Let's go back to the first century. In the 60s, in the AD 60s, Paul was able to write this in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23 says, "If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven." Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. It was preached to every creature under heaven. I don't think it's been accomplished since then, but it was accomplished in the first century. Here's some staggering numbers. These will probably make you uncomfortable. They made me when I read them. Over 50% of the world has never heard the true gospel of Christ ever preached. That's several billion people. Every day, over 65,000 people die never having heard the true gospel. So by this time tomorrow, there's going to be 65,000 more people in hell than there were before. That's a lot of people. That's a lot. Now, I don't know how many of those were children, but that's a lot of people. Jesus said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So how can I do that? Here's a few ways. This is the first one I want to mention. You might have saw me bring this up here. This is the New Testament. It's the New King James Version. And it's pretty easy to read if you have reading glasses. If you don't, I couldn't read that and my life depended on it. But you young people, anybody that has decent eyesight can read it. It's made with really excellent paper. The best thing about it, though, there's a little part in the front called the preface or something like that. And the person that wrote these four pages was a gospel preacher. And in that, those four pages, it gives the true gospel. It talks about the church, the one church. It talks about the kingdom, the one kingdom, and how they are the same. It talks about Pentecost and how one is to be saved. So you can give that to someone and especially point out or study with them those first four pages. You know how much this cost, including postage? $2.40. $2.40. That is pretty inexpensive. I think you can actually get them cheaper than that if you buy them in bulk. I just bought one. The man that wrote it, he's a missionary in India, and he made it to give to English-speaking and reading people in India, which a lot of people, of course, in India can read English. But they're available for us as well. They're printed in India. That $2.40 includes postage and shipping from India to the United States, which is even more staggering. So there's something that all of us can do that's very inexpensive. Very inexpensive. We can do that. We, of course, can do a number of other things. And one of those ways that we can do, things that we can do that I would like to start doing, and I'm going to mention it in care group tonight. This was something that was mentioned in the Gospel Advocate a few months ago that I think is really good because it's simple and it's a way to keep track. And the idea was simply this. Once a month, like when we have these care groups, we have a bunch of tracks laid out. All right? And we have all kinds of tracks on every type of subject imaginable. David has accumulated a number of them for us. And what we do is we take one tract, just one, all right? And we specifically hand that and give it to one specific person during that month. Maybe it's someone who's asked us a question about instrumental music or about baptism or about one church or about heaven and hell. We have tracts on all those things. Then the next care group, we meet and talk about, well, I handed this out to John Doe and we had a discussion about heaven or hell and this was the result. And that's pretty simple. That's something that most all of us can do is hand out one tract during a month. We can do that. It's pretty easy to do. And most of those tracts are very short. It doesn't take much time. And we can hand those out. Something else that many are involved in, of course, is teaching through the internet, which is David does a lot, but I know other people do too. That is one of the greatest evangelistic tools ever made. The possibilities, the potential is through the roof. I know this congregation teaches a tremendous number of people through the internet, thousands every month. And they hear through what they download, the articles that David puts on there and so forth, they hear the truth. All of those ways, and there's many, many others as well, but those were some ways that I know we can use. They're not hard. Handing out a New Testament, handing out a tract, doing work on the internet, all of those type of things. And there's many, many more. We can hand out CDs and DVDs that are real easy to do as well. Goal number three. We'll have to go through these a little quicker. Something that is always important, and I want to stress something that's very practical in this one as well, is all of us, regardless of how old we are, how long we've been in the church, one thing that's very, very necessary, especially in our entertainment society, where we have so many distractions, is we must be more diligent students of God's Word. It's absolutely imperative that we become more diligent students. Paul told Timothy that he had to be diligent. 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, doing what? Rightly dividing, or correctly dividing the word of truth. See, that's the responsibility. That's why we have to be diligent students, so we can correctly divide, correctly interpret, because there are wrong interpretations of the Bible. Determine the true interpretation of the Bible. It's imperative, again, that we have to do that, because there's so much truth and error out there. And we must be able to tell people about worship, about proper worship, about how one is really saved, about the one church, about eternity, and on the list needs to go. We're supposed to be able to give a reason, aren't we? A defense of what we believe, 1 Peter 3:15. See, there's our responsibility. How do we do that? There's only one way to do that. Be better students. Use whatever we can in becoming better students. I appreciate Marcia leaving copies of the Spiritual Sword out there on different topics. Spiritual Sword is one of the very best papers, or whatever we want to call them, that's produced by members of the church. It costs a few dollars for a whole year's subscription. And they're marvelous. Same way with the Gospel Advocate. I enjoy getting the Gospel Advocate every month. I guess it's every month. Again, doesn't cost very much. Costs a little over a dollar a month. And that's all it costs. There are some wonderful, wonderful books being written by members of the church that are incredibly helpful. I brought up one that I wanted to bring to you. This was just published 2 or 3 months ago. It's called Voyage of Faith, Principles of Faith Revolving on the Axis of Baptism. Frank Chesser is a preacher down at the Panama City Church of Christ. As one person said, you ought to quit preaching and just write full time, because he's the most amazing writer, I think, living among Churches of Christ right now. I highly, highly recommend you get a copy and read it. No, you can't have mine. I highly recommend it. To get you, it is so good and will cause you to think so deeply about your faith, your beliefs, about why baptism is important, even though that's the general idea of the book. There's much more to it. I'm going to preach two sermons out of the book. And I hope that whets your appetite to say, I've got to read this book. So there are things like that you and I need to do instead of being overran by things of the world. Number four, display our fellowship and love for each other. This can be done in a variety of ways as well. You know, Jesus said that the sign that you're my disciples is what? That you love one another, right? John 13. That you love one another. So we need to be concerned about each other's welfare. And again, this is not one person doing everything for the congregation. That never works, and that just can't happen. But if you can check on one person, then that's what we need to do. Check on one. There's also a number who have left the church. James tells us the last two verses in James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, that there are people who go astray, right?
They go off the path. They stray off the path. They wander off the path. And if you turn someone from the error of his ways, you shall save a soul from death. And maybe that would be something great to discuss in care group or discuss it more. Is ways and opportunities, the how-tos of trying to do that even better. And I know we try. I know we work at doing that. Well, let's work even harder. And then lastly, number five, attend and participate more each week. You know, there's a difference between attending services and participating in services. We can be here but not be participants. You know, God wants not spectators. He wants people who worship. He wants people who participate, not just people who spectate. Why do we do this? Very simple. It's the right thing to do. My kids hear me say that quite a bit. Why should I do this? Very simple. It's the right thing to do. Why? It's the right thing to do. If you normally don't come to Sunday morning Bible class, you're really missing something. David did a tremendous job this morning starting Jude. If you miss that, you really miss something. It was important. You really, really miss something. The psalmist wrote, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Psalm 122, verse 1. I was glad. Don't view it as something you have to do. If that's the way you view it, then it's your heart that's having the problem. It's your heart. So it's that attitude that needs to be transformed. We don't want to miss any time we can be with each other. And if there are reasons keeping us, we need to try and get rid of those reasons. I'm not talking about when you... I know you have to be at work. I've had to miss services because of work, because I was sick. I'm not talking about those type of things. I'm talking about when you can be here, because you're letting other people down when you're not. So one goal for this year is, let's don't think about ourselves. Let's think about others. Let's think about the Lord. Let's think about His church. And let's think about all we can do for the church. And that may make you uncomfortable, and that's okay, because we're stretching, we're growing, and sometimes that can be painful. That might even, you know, can extend to care group, it can extend to work days, to anything that you can participate in. It's important. It's important to every single one of us. You know, God wants us to whatever we do, to glorify Him. Glorify God in everything you do. Wherever you go, wherever you are, whoever you're with, doesn't make any difference. Glorify God in everything you do and show a spirit of sacrifice. Let that phrase be our phrase for 2011. A spirit of sacrifice. A spirit of sacrifice. And that's the type of attitude and mindset and thinking that will carry us through 2011. That will help us reach those goals. That will help us reach more people. You know, putting others first, sacrificing ourselves for the benefit of others. Those goals are things that we should think about every week. Every week. Bring them to our attention. Write them down. Put them on your refrigerator. Put them on your mirror in your bedroom or wherever, your bathroom. So you'll be reminded of what I need to do in 2011. Because one person can't do all of this. Two people can't do all this. But the whole congregation can accomplish it. When everybody does their share, when we all work together, we can build up and edify the body of Christ. I hope you think about these things. I hope you make them a part of you for this coming year. It can be a great year if we had, like those people in Nehemiah's day, a mind to work. A mind to work. This morning, think about your relationship with God. Is it what you want it to be? Have you had your sins washed away in baptism? Have you confessed wrong? Maybe you need to ask for the prayers of the congregation. Maybe that's what you need this morning. But if you need any of those, then we encourage you to come as David leads us in this song. Let us stand, please.